Hey, everybody. Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. Hope you're enjoying our programs. And if you like what you're hearing, be sure to check out one of our other shows, Real Ghost Stories Online. You can download it wherever you download podcasts. Each week, we put out a bonus episode jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories we get in. Here's a 15-minute preview of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What is it about certain buildings that give them kind of a weird, more mysterious, sometimes eerie, sometimes unsettling feeling? Here's an example. You have a main building to whatever the center is. It could be a church, a religious center. It could be a school. It could be, you name it, something where you have kind of the main hub. And then at some point they said, we need more space, let's add another building, and you have the other building. And then from then on out, when something has to be done in the other building, it's like, oh, well, you need to go to the other building for that. And sometimes, I'd say oftentimes, those other buildings, they don't quite feel the same as the original. I mean, they are kind of an afterthought in nature, but at the same point, sometimes they can just feel kind of off, like the evil stepbrother of the main building, or I don't know. I just had that experience several times in life where there's the main building and you go to the annex or whatever you want to call it. It's like, no, it's okay. I'd rather be over here. I don't know why that is. They kind of take on characters of their own. And then quite often, as time goes by, as all things do, things sometimes shut down, fall apart, and then the reason to have those extra buildings isn't there. Sometimes the reason to have the main building isn't there. And sometimes those things can be repurposed into other settings. But they still kind of maintain that feeling. I wonder why that is. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear about some of those buildings. What dark entity or activity took place in an old Sunday school building? Not the main building of the church, but it was the Sunday school building, that one over there. What happened there? That's what some people wonder today, as it's now been converted into apartments. Then, mysterious orbs, ghost cats, unexplained scratches on one man's back. What happened with this place? The place that was turned into a condo. And a father gets his family's home blessed by a priest without their knowledge. But why? What did he know that maybe they didn't? Those stories today on Real Ghost Stories Online. It's EPP bonus episode number 353. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Sometimes it's not always a case of it's your house. It's more like you're the house's people. And the ownership kind of works the other direction, not where the humans are the ones in control. And when that happens, it makes for a very interesting dynamic. In some cases, people feel very comfortable with that. Some people embrace it even when things are really strange. Some will run fleeing from such things, depending on how extreme things get. But it certainly does make for a feeling of uncertainty, and if you're an anxious person, not probably a great environment for you. In our next story, we hear about a young couple moving into a really interesting place, a repurposed Sunday school building. What exactly went on in that building that would cause this now apartments to have so much activity? That's the question. Take a listen. Okay, so I have a story for you, one which I, to be honest, still have not quite figured out completely. Maybe you might have some insight. When I was in my early 20s, I lived in an old farmhouse with a guy I was dating at the time. The farmhouse was split into two apartments, one in front, the one I lived in, and the one behind us a friend lived in. And for sake of privacy, I'll just call him E. This old farmhouse had cornfield to the right, woods to the back, a church to the side, and a church directly across the street with a police station diagonally across the street from it. Now, the relevancy of this is that this old farmhouse, before it became a rental property, as was told to us by our landlord when we purchased it to use, it used to be a Sunday school for the church to the left of us. And there were definite signs in the house it was used for a school by the church, as there was a sidewalk leading from our fire escape to the second floor to the church. The house had a metal fire escape that was put in because fire codes for schools require two exits in case of emergency as well. From our side of the rental, you could tell that it was not used to be lived in for a while and that our landlord was ridiculously cheap at converting it into apartments because the bathroom had an exceedingly small, square, do-it-yourself, thin plastic shower that was honestly junk. We were young, and the apartment's rent was super cheap, so we just dealt with it. Also, before getting to the staircase that led to the second floor, there was a big piece of plywood painted white, screwed over something on the wall. And I asked the landlord what it was covering, and he said a chalkboard from the Sunday school. All of this has meaning to the story, so please bear with me. The upstairs had two bedrooms only, and that was it, one of which had the fire escape and was the room we slept in. The heaters in the house are the old 50s style that stuck out of the wall. There was no air conditioning. Okay, so the weird stuff started after a few years of living there. The first was doors opening by themselves. One time I came home from work late at night as I was closing manager at a restaurant, so I often came home around 1 or 2 in the morning, had my dinner, and went to bed. The guy I was dating at the time was fast asleep, and I had just gotten into bed when I saw our bedroom door, move on its own. It was wide open. It was only us living there, so I never really felt the need to shut the door, and I watched it very slowly close on its own. It did not latch, but came close. The floor of that room was a bit slanted when we moved in, and I was concerned about its condition, but the landlord assured us it was fine. This was the first time in 2 years we lived there. This door did that as well. It had always been open since we moved in. I shrugged it off, thinking maybe it was the tilt of the floor, a draft from the fire escape door, which was adjacent, and got up and opened the door back up and went to sleep. A few weeks go by, and it's the middle of summer and extremely hot outside. Now, we had no air conditioning and could not use a window unit because the windows were painted shut. No matter how hard we pulled, they would not open. So, you can say with cheap rent comes some sacrifices, and in the summer, it could get miserable in there. We did what we could with fans everywhere. I was home alone, he was at work, and just to note that all the events that happened only happened when I was alone. He never witnessed any strange occurrences, and the same goes for our neighbor, E, who also had his own experiences, which his girlfriend had never witnessed. So, me and E shared experiences that our partners never believed and thought we were crazy. So, I was alone just playing video games, trying to stay in front of the fan. The heater kicked on full blast. And I'll tell you how disturbing this account was, because it felt menacing and threatening, like it wanted to kill me. I froze from shock, because it was already 90-something degrees in there. Last thing I needed was some more heat. Finally, I got up, walked over to the thermostat to see if it had been accidentally pushed on. But no. It was in the off position, and the temperature was now very clear to the low side. I put my hand in front of the heater vent coming out of the wall to be sure enough it was blasting hot air right out. I started panicking, fiddling with the windows, wiggling them around, turning it on and off, anything to make the heat stop coming out. Nothing worked. Now, I'm an occultist, so I know some stuff about banishing spirits and decided that it might be the moment to try it, because what else could I do? I not know anything about electrical wiring to unwire it, so I put my hands up in a triangle, pushed forward, in the form of a banishing as soon as I did this. The heater shut off and stopped blowing hot air. This honestly confirmed in my mind it was something spirit. Relieved that I got the heater to stop and sweating to death, I sat back down on the couch, lit a cigarette, and tried to make sense of it. Eventually, I gave up and started playing the video game again, and maybe 20 minutes passed, and the heater came on again a second time. So now I'm getting mad, stood up, did the triangle banishing again, stopped immediately, but this time as soon as I dropped my hands down, breaking the triangle, the heater kicked back on immediately. I panicked and ran out of the house, shaking. I was standing in the front lawn, scared to go back inside because whatever it was trying to roast me out of there. I told him when we got home, we called the landlord and an electrician came out, didn't find any reason for the apartment malfunctioning, but did find we had a leak of carbon monoxide from a crack in the heater, which he welded shut. To be honest, I never noticed that my lit cigarettes would constantly go out and have to relight them, but that was at least explained by the leak. Never did we figure out why it turned on, though. We joke around and put plates of food in front of it as offerings and called it the heater demon. I'm not sure how much time passed, forgive me, this was 20 years ago, but I was up in the second bedroom on my computer with the door shut when the ceiling light turned off and left me in the dark as this was nighttime. Now, I do not know why I never noticed this in the several years I lived there. I guess I'm not a very observant person, and it was not until this happened that I finally noticed the oddness of this room. So I was sitting in the dark and I froze, scared, because I knew I was alone, as he was at work. It was not a circuit breaker, as my computer was still on, or was it? Was something in the house with me? That was the scariest thought I had as I'm a young girl in my 20s alone. So I got up, started feeling next to the door for the light switch, couldn't find it at all. So slowly I opened the door, lit the light from downstairs, was enough to see the hallways upstairs, and that's when I saw that the light switch for the ceiling light was on the outside of the room. Why on earth was it on the outside? It was bizarre, but not as bizarre as what I discovered after that. And that's going to wrap up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. And if you'd like to get all the extras, get the rest of this episode, find out what happens with the building and also what happens with mysterious orbs, ghost cats, unexplained scratches on a man's back in a condo, and why a father gets their family's home blessed by a priest without their knowledge, then become an extra podcast person. Sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our EPP bonus episodes. We have new ones every single week, just like this. And there's 353 right there for you to binge away on. We have more bonus episodes of our show than a lot of podcasts have of their regular episodes of the show. You also get access to our ebook, our audiobook, our archive of episodes, our advanced episodes of the show, all commercial free, no ads in there. So you can binge away and just enjoy getting freaked out. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and you get all of it for only $5 when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.